Welcome to the church that Christ established. We are the South Fayette Church of Christ, and if you are visiting with us for the very first time, let me say from my heart to your hearts that we are glad that you're here. And we hope that any time that you're able to worship with us in spirit and truth, it is our prayer that you absolutely do so. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us be reminded to keep the main thing the main thing. That is us loving one another as Christ also loved us, having a zeal and a desire for God's word, sharing it with every single person that we can. And finally, as we go into the year 2022, let us have a mind to work doing whatever it is that is possible to expand God's kingdom. And I want you to know, no matter what, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. If you have your Bibles with you this morning or electronic devices, again, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 3 this morning. If you didn't pay attention to the song that we just sang, it was a beautiful, beautiful song. And when I saw that song, I thought about 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Father alone. Father alone, we will understand more about the mysteries of life. Father alone, we will understand the uncertainties of life. And finally, Father alone, we will understand the inequities of life. Again, I would like to thank our young man for stepping up. It is a wonderful thing to see our young man having a mind to work and willing to serve in the kingdom of God. Amen? So, if you have 1 John chapter 3, looking at verses 1 through 3 again, I'll read it for you. An infallible word of God reads, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but what we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." Listen, the faithful Christian wants to know about heaven and what it will be like. There are questions that the Christian has, and that is, what will it be like? Where will we go? What will we do? And how will we exist? In this passage just read, John frankly admits that he does not know what we will be like. But however, what he does say is that we will be like him. For John, that's enough. For John, that's it. That's all he needs. That's all he needs in order to keep him going, that we will be like him. He's satisfied to have these questions answered, Father alone. Again, it's an old favorite. It was in the book, and the number was 138. It was written in 1911, and it was a tribute to W.B. Stevens. But the version we have in our songbook was arranged in 1937 by J.R. Baxter Jr. And the words of this song are comforting and to help us to get through the difficult times. We can all admit that here in the past 2 years or so, it's been some difficult and trying times. But let us consider some thoughts based upon this familiar hymn. Father alone, we will understand more about the mysteries of life. We can all agree that there are some mysteries in life. First and foremost, I want you to know there's a mystery that I have been trying to solve since I have been a young boy. And that thing is, where do socks go? Is the dryer eating the socks? I buy a new pair of socks every month and they seem to disappear. Is there a little man known as the pair sock bandit? Or what about the remote? I think we lose the remote every 2 days. And then it reappears. There are mysteries in life that we just can't figure out. But in seriousness, consider the statement of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. He says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to the children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." Now, we can ask more questions that we will never have the answers to. There are many things we will just not be able to figure out. But I want you to have comfort, beloved, in knowing that we do have all the things that we need that pertain to our spiritual life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, looking at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, looking at verse 3. The infallible word of God says that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his glory, his own glory and excellence. So we have life and godliness. Secondly, over in Titus chapter 2, looking at verses 11 and 12. The infallible word of God says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." So we also have the grace of God, which teaches us. And then lastly, over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, looking at verses 16 and 17. The infallible word of God says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness." So we have life and godliness, grace which God teaches us, and a complete and thoroughly finished situation when it comes to 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. So the other question we must ask ourselves, are we relying on faith to answer the questions? Or are we relying on self to answer the questions? I remember this past summer where we did a gospel training for preachers who are young men who desire to be preachers. And we have this thing called Battle Buddies, where it's a reason why you go everywhere together. They're a couple together. It's two young men, and they go everywhere together. If the young man goes to the bathroom, he stands outside of the door and waits. If he goes, they eat together, they go together, everywhere they go. They're called Battle Buddies. So one day, a young man, he wasn't with his Battle Buddy. And when they're not with their Battle Buddy, yeah, they have to do like some push-ups or something like that, right? And he got slick with me one time. But I have to give him credit for the answer that he gave me. I said, "Where is your Battle Buddy? You know that you're supposed to be walking with your Battle Buddy. He is supposed to be with you everywhere you go, everywhere you walk." And you know what he said with me? He said, "The Bible says I am supposed to walk by faith." Some of y'all get that when you get home. I said, "Really?" He said, "That's what the Bible says. I'm supposed to walk by faith." So the question is, are we walking by faith, or are we walking on this premise that some man or something is going to save us? There are uncertainties in life. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Listen, if it ain't faith, saints, it's fear. And the difference is, with fear, fear is what you can taste, touch, smell, and hear. That's why a lot of people live in fear, because they're not acting on faith, the things that they do not see, but the things that they do see. So they operate in fear. And we all know that fear immobilizes you. You don't go left, you don't go right, you don't do anything. So we must trust that God knows the answers to the things that we don't know. We have to start asking ourselves, why do we limit God? Why do we put him in a box? With all the things that are going on in the world, the first thing we try to figure out is how we can fix them. We limit God and say, well, what can we do? How can I change this? How can I change this situation? Over in Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verses 20 and 21, the infallible word of God says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We sing a song that says he has the whole world in his hands. And when we're in turmoil, when things begin to go awry and go the opposite direction, we start to depend more on ourselves than God, the one who is the creator of everything. And it says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all the generations forever and ever. Amen. Listen, I get it. The mysteries of life is difficult. I know that it's hard. I know we can't understand everything that we need to understand. But what we need to be focusing on is our spirituality and exercising our faith. You know, a lot of people are struggling. They're struggling because they're watching what's happening around us. I'm sure you've tuned into the news and you understand what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. I know that you turn on the news and you see things that constantly happen in the city, not only in Fayetteville, but the surrounding cities in the city of Atlanta, all of the horrible things that we see. And when you see that over and over again, you're trying to figure out why. Why does this constantly happen? What is it? Well, you understand that we live in a world filled with sin and darkness. So in knowing this, where should our focus be? On the light, on spiritual matters, which matters the most. So the question is, farther along, all of the mysteries in life, all of the things that I'm concerned about will be revealed. But I have to focus on my spirituality and who's in charge. Secondly, farther along, we will understand the uncertainties of life. There are some uncertain things in life that will happen. There are times when life is just uncertain. I get it. I understand. We sometimes feel like we don't know to whom to turn or where to go. I remember when I first got COVID, when it hit, it was around October, and I got COVID. And I think I was down for maybe 2.5 weeks. I was down for a while. And it was very scary. But let me tell you when it got really scary. It got really scary was when I got up to go to the restroom and I could not walk. I literally could not walk. My wife had to help me step by step to go to the bathroom, to get up off of the couch, to walk up the stairs, to sit down, to stand up. And the first thing that went to my mind was this. So is this how my life is going to be? Will I be able to continue to preach the gospel? Will I have to preach from a wheelchair? How will I provide for my family? What's going to happen? It was uncertain. And for most people, it's that way because I hadn't experienced such a thing before. So for most people, the uncertainty comes as, well, I've never been down this road. I don't know what's going to happen. But sometimes uncertainty can only be alleviated by going through the experience itself. So I had to go through it. But I had to trust that God was in control. See, the problem is we believe that we are in control, and you're not. Newsflash, you're not. God is in control. And the moment you believe that you are is the moment you find out how out of control you really are. When I placed my faith in God at that particular time, it changed my life. You want to talk about understanding what prayer meant? You want to talk about really trying to get down to it and really placing your faith? I got down on my knees to pray because I understood it was only him that could help me through it. Who could explain that? This is supposed to be a type of infection or disease where you have like flu-like symptoms. It didn't say anything about not being able to walk. So I was trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And then I realized, Christopher, you're not in control. You're not in control. And that thing was uncertain. But when we go through those uncertain times, because we will go through them, we have to put our faith in God to help us through those things. For an example, I want you to consider Abraham. I want you to consider Abraham. God said to Abraham that he would have a son by Sarah. The man was in his hundreds. He was like 99 years old. That's some uncertainty in that. My wife is like 90. I'm 100. Can you imagine great-grandma coming in talking about, ooh, child, I'm pregnant. The uncertainty of that, first you'd be like, well, I don't even know if she would survive it. Secondly, I don't know if the child would have some deficiencies or handicap, because that's what we know to be true. Those are uncertain things. But this was beyond Abraham's experience, so it was uncertain. Just like when you go through things that are uncertain, it's beyond your experience. And I'm sure he had never heard of someone Sarah's age having a child. It's unheard of. But in Romans chapter 4, looking at verses 19 through 21, the infallible word of God says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Have we forgotten the promises of our God? Have you? Have you forgotten the promises of our God? But he was strengthening in his faith, and then he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do whatever he promised. Now, promise from you know, your friend or your husband or your wife, those things can be broken. But God keeps his promises. So why would you ever, as a child of God, being able to be called a child of God, being heir to the throne of the King of Kings, that you don't believe and trust in his promises? God assures us that when we are certain about life, he is there. But again, I think what we end up turning to is man. I need man to be there. I need medicine to fix it. I need an answer from the government. I need mama. I need daddy. No, all you need is God. And he assures us. Listen, the uncertainties of life and the necessities of life, they get us all. We wonder. We try to figure out how we're going to fix this, how I'm going to provide for my family. But in Matthew 6 and verse 30, he says, if it is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? I never seen a bird that was worried about when he was going to get his next worm, or where he was going to sleep, where he's going to lay his head. So how much more if he's taking care of an animal that he will take care of his own children? There's not a shadow of a doubt. There's not nothing that says that he will not. But I'm telling you, we want to control everything. But there are uncertainties of the uncontrollable. I get it. When you can't control the situation, it gets to you. But in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, he replied, right? When they were on the boat and they were afraid and the winds were raging, he down there asleep. Jesus, why are you down there asleep? You chilling. And we got all this stuff going on. He got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. When you are in the midst of the storms of life and the waves are crashing against you, when it seems like everything is falling apart, your God is there to say, peace, be still. I can fix it all. I can completely turn chaos into peace. But you got to have the faith and to trust that my promises are true. I got you. See, the problem is, that's why I get up here and say it every day. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. I didn't say look over there every now and then. I didn't say take a peek here and there. I said keep them fixed on Jesus. It's not like some little catchphrase that I'm giving you. It's a reminder, because I know week after week, day after day, hour after hour, we're tempted. We're going through things. We're tried. We're dealing with death. We're dealing with sickness. We're dealing with all types of things. But if you just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you will not sink in the life of sin or the sea of sin. Because what we ultimately have is uncertainty of self, because that happens. You're uncertain that you can pull it off. I'm uncertain that I could get this done. And for the most part, you're right. Because without God, you're nothing. Without him, you can't complete, you can't go through, you can't accomplish anything without God. Matthew 14, verse 31, he says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, talking to Peter. Ye of little faith, why did you doubt? We come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We do Bible study Wednesday after Wednesday. You have studies in between with men's studies and women's studies and personal studies. And we continue to doubt the one who has showed up time after time after time again. We're talking about the life of Christ, right? And we talked about after he didn't fed thousands, they still question, what are we going to eat? How are you going to feed us? What are we going to do? God has showed up and showed out for us time after time again. And we still look back and say, well, where you at, God? Where you at? How are you going to help me? How can I put my trust in you? Well, here is simply, Father alone, we will be better prepared and able to do endure life uncertainties. But you got to put your trust and faith in God. I remember one time I was at the gas station. And this was y'all remember that time where it was hacked and the gas was, and folks was going to the gas station and it looked like funeral processions at the gas station, that the lines were so long, people fighting, you had police officers, you know, monitoring. It was crazy. And I was at the gas station and I'm waiting to get in, and there was the attendant there. And this very nice guy, he was apologizing. He's like, I'm so sorry. I had a Bible in the window. He said, are you a preacher? I was like, yeah. He was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Pastor. I was like, chill, it's cool. It's all right. I'm so sorry for the delay. It just seems as if people want to wait till the last minute to get ready for a long trip. You know what I did? I laughed. I was like, ha, ha, check this out. I know exactly what you're talking about, because I deal with it every day. I'm trying to get people prepared for a trip that's called eternity. And so many wait to the last minute to get filled with the gospel truth so they can live a life pleasing to God, so they can go to heaven. I was like, wow, that's exactly what we're doing. Because a lot of people are uncertain. I'm at the gym working out. Girl was talking about everything in her life was falling apart. I just need this and this is bad. And baby daddy drama this and this and that. I said, well, are you willing to give your life to Jesus? She said, no, wait a minute. Now, hold on. Yeah, I mean a list of troubles, a list of problems. And the moment I said, are you ready to follow Jesus? She goes, well... I said, well, what's the problem? Well, you know, I'm just going to tell you what she says. I like living a ratchet life. I like having fun and going out with the girls. So you think that having fun and going out with the girls is better than having a personal relationship with God? And then she thought about it and she said, yeah, that didn't make much sense, did it? I said, no. You gave me a list of problems, uncertainties about what you can't afford and how hard life is, and you're not willing to put your faith and trust in the one who already died for you? Come on, man. She's like, you know what? That doesn't make much sense. I said, most people, I told her the story about the on the fence Steve. And I said, most people are going to die on the fence. The fence of uncertainty, the fence of I need time, the fence of I'm getting my life together, the fence of I'm a work in progress. And I told her, I said, at the end of the day, I want you to know who owns the fence. She said, who owns the fence? I said, the devil. Because you're exactly where he wants you. No faith, no accountability, and no relationship with the Father. Hopefully here soon she'll be coming up in here. Hopefully soon she will understand, because I am trying to tell her, I get it, about the uncertainties, the mysteries of life, how hard it can be. And we're going through some tough times. But Father alone will be better prepared to endure the life's uncertainties. And last, the inequities of life. The inequities of life. Life also has a certain amount of inequities, right? There is no guarantee for justice in this life. We've been through a time where we saw a whole lot of things transpire and take place, and it didn't seem like justice was served. We've seen a whole lot of lives being lost, young people dying. Mothers are now childless, and all these things are happening. We're at a point where criminals receive little to no punishment for rape or child abuse. As a matter of fact, even murder. We're at a place where a person can walk down the street and kill people and be acquitted for it. Large companies can cheat and steal from their employees without consequence. It seems as if there is no justice. But not all wrongs are righted in this life, saints. You don't get a chance and an opportunity to see all the things and all the vengeance that you want to see and all the people who deserve to be put under the jail, to be on death row, whatever you feel in your heart that you think that they deserve. You don't get to see that in this life all the time. And some wrongs are only righted after death. When we are wrong, we must place our trust in God, knowing that justice will be served one way or the other. Because the moment we say that there was no justice, then that means that we have not truly believed in God. Because what did he tell us? Right? He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8, if you see the poor oppressed in a district and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things. For one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher still. There are people pulling strings from all types of places. You think that you got to go here, and you got to go to the Supreme Court, and you got to, and all this stuff. At the end of the day, justice is served. But I want you to be encouraged to know that justice is served through the cross. It won't be Johnny Cochran. It won't be the best lawyer you can ever find. It won't be the best legal team. It is served through the cross. Jesus' death on the cross was for the sins of mankind. And that's God's mercy, his merciful way of bringing justice. Because what we all truly deserve was a sentence. But he paid the price for us. If a sinner will call upon the Lord in faith and obedience, God will pay the price for his sins. Over in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. But the problem is we ain't focused on the cross. We're focused on the problem. As a matter of fact, we're searching for answers when we already have the answer giver. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Romans chapter 3, 25 to 26. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. Why? Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Again, there's their word faith. You know, if one does not accept God's justice through the cross, then one must accept God's justice for eternity. There will be a judgment. Romans 12, 19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Most of the time, we in the way. Get out of the way. Let God be God. He don't need your help. We act like God need our help. And I'm not, something got to be done. And I mean, something got to be done right now. God says, vengeance is mine. Hebrews 10, 30. For we know him who said, it's mine to avenge. I will repay. Oh, I'm sure that if somebody does something to you deep down in the flesh, the man come out and say, man, no, you ain't going to do that to my family. You're not going to do that to my children or my wife or husband. But the Lord will judge his people. You think your judgment is better than God's? Because what he got for those who speak against those who are his children, he going to take care of all of that. You don't have to worry about none of that. So I get about the inequities of life. It's difficult, but God will do his part as he always has. And lastly, in Jude chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in a similar way, think about this. Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They served as an example of those who will suffer the punishment of eternal life. I'm sure back then, that was the spot to be. Man, I'm going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Boy, they doing all kinds of stuff over there. We have party, we can fuck, we can drink, we do all kinds of stuff. We just do whatever we want to do. I'm going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. You going with me, man? Let's go. And that's exactly what we do here. We put more stock in this world. We think we're having the best time ever. You know, you only live once. You got to live your best life. I got to live it up. But God says they served as an example of the punishment of eternal life. So for those who have wronged you, for those who have done something horrible to you, when your heart was broken, when the people walked out on you, when your family turned their back on you, when things were going in a direction that you couldn't understand, you were on your last leg, you were crying and pleading, asking God, where are you? I need your help because I'm tired of people using and abusing me. He says, vengeance is mine. You just do your part and you focus on the spiritual things. You be the man and woman of God that I have called you to be. And then you can say farther along, God will make all wrongs right someday. In conclusion, farther along, we will be able to understand more about the mysteries of life. We will be able to understand the uncertainties of life. And then the injustices, the inequities of life. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone, we will understand why. And then he says, cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine, meaning keep your eyes fixed on the cross, fixed on Jesus. Because once you do that, you'll understand it all by and by. I hope I've said something to encourage you. If you're here this morning and maybe you have not obeyed the gospel, maybe you're not a child of God, you have an opportunity to become a part of a royal priesthood, being buried in water, dying to your old self, living a new life, living for God. And if you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you have been baptized into Christ and you are in his family, but maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you are dealing with some things. Maybe the mysteries of life have overtaken you. Maybe the injustices that you've dealt with have caused you to be bitter inside and have some hatred in your heart. But listen, you can make that known if you sin publicly or you're just struggling. You need the prayers of the church. Don't hesitate to come forward. as together we stand and together we sing.